Greetings, everyone. I want to let you know that you are listening to Pastor's Message on Palm Sunday. Stick around for some announcements at the end. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.
The day that the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. I hope that you're having a wonderful day today already on this beautiful Palm Sunday. If you're joining us here today on this Facebook Live podcast, as I ask you every week, give me a thumbs up emoji. I don't know, maybe is there a fist bump emoji out there or some sort of high five emoji? Post a hello and a greeting so we can all know we're all here. And so I want to say hello to you from Kelly and I, from our home that we've been, seems like, confined in for a long, long time, even though it's only been 2 or 3 weeks. We get to go out every once in a while, and I hope you're not getting stir crazy. If we get stir crazy, we go take a walk or just get some fresh air. And our highlight of the day sometimes seems like is like, where are we going to go get something to go through the drive-thru to eat? You know, so it's kind of been like that, seems like, for the last few weeks. And I don't know what you guys have been doing to fill up your days, but it's been interesting to watch what's going on in our country and in the world. But I just want to encourage you today that God has got this. Let's open up with prayer. We all bow your heads as we all ask the Lord to come and be part of this gathering here today. Lord, we thank you today for this time that we have here together. We invite you, Holy Spirit, into this virtual gathering of the body of Christ of Faith Assembly. Lord, not only for those that are part of Faith Assembly, but we know that others are watching throughout this country. And so we welcome all of the body of Christ together to this time. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and just minister to our hearts, speak to us, speak through me. Holy Spirit, I invite you, we invite you to speak, to bring strength and ministry and help and hope to our hearts today. We love you and thank you for what you're going to do here in this corporate gathering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today, as we know, is Palm Sunday. It's the beginning of what we call Holy Week. We know it's the day that when all around the world people are gathering virtually today to commemorate the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. He was surrounded by a bunch of what I'll call fair-weathered fans that were hollering out the phrase, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna," and they were waving palm branches to their king. And we also know that in just a few days after that, those same fickle fans were yelling, "Crucify him," as the Easter story unfolded and God's plan of redemption for mankind culminated in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, as we face this pandemic, this COVID-19, and today we celebrate Palm Sunday, I want us to know that even though it may not seem like it right now, that on this Palm Sunday, we're still in the palm of God's hand. Through all of this, God has got this. God has got us. You know, there's a lot of fear going on right now in the world, but I want to encourage you that we're still in the palm of God's hand. Unemployment claims are skyrocketing. They're at an all-time high right now. But know this, we're still in the palm of God's hand. There's new cases of the virus that are expected to peak in the next several weeks in this nation. But I would encourage you to know that we're still in the palm of God's hand. We may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds it. And we're still in the palm of God's hands. Billy Medlin sent me a text about 30 minutes ago to share with me a scripture that I shared right back with him. I said, "Listen, that's really cool, because actually that's one of the scriptures that I'm going to be sharing this morning. It's found in Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3 and verse 10. And it says this, listen to it. God is our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, be still and know that I am God." In other words, God's got this. I want us to look at three truths this morning that are found in our text in Matthew chapter 21. I hope that you'll turn to that now in your Bibles. We're going to start in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 21. As it relates to this virus, as it relates to Palm Sunday, I trust that it's going to fill you with hope and faith, and that we can be reminded today and rest in the fact that God has got this. If you will, join with me and let's read Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. It says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and while others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road, the crowds that went ahead of them, those that followed them, shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. So here's the first thing that I'd like for us to see today, and that is this, that COVID-19, this pandemic virus, is not a surprise to God. It's easier to see how God was in control on that Sunday that Jesus was entering into the city. I mean, think about it. The borrowed donkey was offered without any complaint or pushback from the owner. The people gathered and laid their cloaks on the ground before Jesus. They shouted praises to Jesus. Hosanna, Hosanna. It seemed that everything was working out perfectly on that day with Jesus. God was definitely in that, we would conclude. But just fast forward to 5 days later, when that same crowd in that same city was yelling, crucify him. An innocent Jesus was put to death on the criminal's cross. It's much harder to see how God could be in that. But God was in that. Jesus knew the same crowd that would laud and embrace him on Sunday would despise and reject him on Friday. He knew that it would be his last week on earth. He knew that he would be crucified in just a few days. But more than that, Jesus knew that his Father, God, had a plan. And Jesus placed his trust and placed his trust in his Father God on that one thing, that in the enjoyable times and also in the difficult times, that God was there. You know, it's easier to believe that God is in control of our lives when things are going well in our lives. But in this global pandemic, in which we're all finding ourselves, know this. It may not seem like it, but God's got this. He's got a plan. God is in control. God knew this pandemic would happen. God knew that we would be in the thick of it during this holy season. And since we know this, we can also be assured that God is in control. In the midst of this unprecedented crisis, God's purposes are being accomplished. And while we know that God isn't the author of any of this virus or any calamity for that matter, Romans 8:28, a scripture we know very well, says this, that in all things God works together for good to those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. God has a purpose in this, which brings me to my next point that I want us to see in our text today, and that's this. We've always needed salvation. We just realize it more now in times like this. You know, the reason Jesus went through all that he did to live and to die for us was that we need salvation. You've heard me say this many times before, because God is all about souls. God is all about redeeming fallen, sinful mankind back to himself, restoring relationship between us and God the Father. You know, we're a broken people. All of humanity is broken. We've always needed salvation. There's never been a time when we've not needed salvation. That has never changed. We just tend to be more acutely aware of it in times such as this. Think about it. Everything right now around us is being stripped away, isn't it? All of the things of which we placed our trust and security are being exposed as exactly what they are. They're just sinking sand. God refuses to be replaced by other things. The very first of the Ten Commandments that we find in the book of Exodus that God gave Moses says that we're to place no other gods before him. But God has also given us a free will to choose whatever gods that we want to put before him if we so choose. And our human, fleshly, sinful natures, we tend to default to that tendency. But just like the domino effect, we're seeing one after another of those things that we placed our trust in fall before us. What is left is God and God alone. And thank God, He's our source. He's our solid rock. He's our one true foundation. All other ground is sinking sand. You know, when Jesus entered Jerusalem that day, as I was reading in the text, people were shouting the words, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Do you know what that word Hosanna means? It means this. It's a desperate, it's kind of a desperate, hopeful plea that means, please save us. And it wasn't like, please save us. It was, please save us. Hosanna, Hosanna. That's what they were crying that day. It was a desperation. It was an anticipation. It was a hope. You know, the people have been living for hundreds of years under the heavy rulership of one foreign government after another. They were oppressed, they were restricted, they were desperate, and they were weary. And they saw Jesus as their way of escape, their salvation from the tyranny of oppression under which they had lived for so long. They were acutely aware of their need of salvation because of the situation that they were in. They had always needed salvation. But the heavy-handed Roman Empire had made things unbearable. They had come to a breaking point, and they were desperate. And as a sort of a last resort, they were crying out to Jesus. And he poured in a storm at this point. They saw him as a Savior, not the Savior, but a Savior. And they were crying out, Hosanna, please save us right now at this moment. And that's where we are today. You know, we've always needed salvation, all of us. But as things are being stripped away, as the underbrush of our busy lives is being cleared away, we're seeing more clearly our need of salvation. As the death toll mounts and the unemployment increases and the uncertainty of the future looms, if we're wise, we'll look to Jesus. We'll cry out to Him, Hosanna, please save me. And realize that we need Jesus more than ever, as much in this life as we do in the next. You know, Jesus is more than just hell insurance. At least He should be. Jesus is more than just, if you'll just save me, I can know that I'm going to heaven one day when I die. Jesus is right now in our lives today a relationship to pursue and to cultivate. As the people did in that day in Jerusalem, let's do today as well. In sort of a hopeful desperation and a joyful expectation, let's place our faith in Jesus for our salvation during this crisis, and for our lives here on earth and for all of eternity. Not just at this moment, Jesus saved me, but Jesus saved me from my sins and helped me to pursue relationship with You so that one day in heaven, I'll get to spend eternity with You. You know, Jesus is here to save you today. If you'll just cry out Hosanna to Him, Hosanna, like they did on that Palm Sunday some 2,000 years ago. I promise that He's here to save you, and I'm promising you that He will answer you. Which leads me to my last point today. And that is this. That Palm Sunday that took place 2,000 years ago that we've celebrated every Sunday since then is a day of expectation. You know, Palm Sunday kicks off, as I said a moment ago, Holy Week. It culminates in Jesus' resurrection from the dead. It's a week of hope. It's a week of hope for today and also a week of hope for tomorrow. It's a story of why the church exists, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a story of in whom we place our faith, Jesus. And it's a story of what our future holds and who holds it. The people that day had an eager expectation of what Jesus' entry into the city meant for them, a momentary, temporary Savior. But we also have an eager expectation of what Jesus' resurrection means for us. As Jesus ascended to heaven, one day He will return. Romans 8:19 says this, for all creation waits with eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Jesus, folks, let me tell you, Jesus, let me remind you today, Jesus is coming back. The rapture of His bride, the church, is imminent. We wait with eager expectation for this one-time twinkling of an eye event. It's the next thing to happen on the prophetic calendar. And I believe it's very soon. And I also want to say that this virus, I believe, is not part of the plagues listed in the book of Revelation. I know we're reading a lot about that. We're hearing a lot about that. It may seem like it right now, but this is nothing compared to what it will be like in the rapture, after the rapture and during the tribulation. You don't want to be here during all of that mess that's getting ready to take place. I believe it's a sign, it's a symptom, it's one of the things that Jesus talked about that needs to be taking place before the rapture. The church is going to be taken away before any of the plagues and all the things that are going to be poured out are going to take place. This virus is simply God's creation experiencing birth pains that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 24. Now this is a big contraction for sure. Jesus said in Matthew 24 verse 8, as it relates to the end times and the events that occur on the earth before the rapture takes place, that these are just the beginning of birth pains. Labor pains means that a birth is imminent. So I ask you this morning, are you ready? Are you ready? Folks, heaven is real and heaven awaits. And Jesus is coming back for his bride to take us to a place that he's prepared for us. Jesus said these words about this in John 14 verses 1 through 4. Oh, this is so appropriate for today. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also, Jesus says, in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. But I am. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. You know what heaven's going to look like? You know what this place is going to look like? Let me just take a few moments and describe what this place called heaven looks like. It's going to be a place where all things are made new. Listen to this. It's a place of lush life. Beauty like you've never seen. Breathtaking landscapes and gorgeous scenery is there awaiting us. You know, the most beautiful scenery that you've seen here on this earth, whatever it is that you've experienced, will pale in comparison to what we will experience in heaven for all of eternity. Heaven is a place of reunion. The loved ones who've gone before us will run with arms outstretched to you one day. You're going to walk with them one day, laughing and playing and talking. Heaven is a place where the old is gone and everything is made new. Listen to this. There's not going to be any more pain. There's not going to be any more death. There's no more crime. There's no more perversions. There's no more politics. There's no more wars. There's no more disease. There's no more hunger. There's no more lack. There's no more strife. There's no more division. There's no more rage. There's no more jealousy. There's no more worry. There's no more fear. There's no more depression. There's no more child abuse. There's no more domestic violence. There's no more terrorism. There's no more murders. There's no more trials, trauma, or temptation of any kind in heaven. Doesn't that sound good? God's peace will permeate the place. You'll be completely and totally at home and deeply satisfied. Every trial, every heartache, every pain that you've ever experienced on this earth will have been worth it and will melt away when we get to heaven. Heaven is a place where Jesus will be. Heaven is a place where he will come and embrace you with his arms outstretched and a huge smile on his face saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome home." You know, Jesus didn't come to set up an earthly kingdom like those who hailed him and hoped that he would on that Palm Sunday some 2,000 years ago. He came and he knew what his purpose was to die for my sins and for your sins so that we could all receive his free gift of salvation and so that we could all spend eternity in his eternal kingdom of heaven. And this pandemic that we're going through is part of God's plan to draw people to himself, I believe. So on this Palm Sunday, be comforted with the fact that we're in the palm of God's hands. We're in the palm of his caring, protective hands. God's got this. Won't you say that with me right now, just wherever you are, just join with me and say it. Say, "God's got this." Say it again. Say it. "God's got this." Oh, come on, say it one more time. "God's got this." Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you today that you've got this. You're not surprised by this pandemic. You knew it was going to happen, and you knew when it was going to happen. You have a plan. You have a reason for it. You know, Lord God, what's going on. through all of this. It's to draw people to you. It's to remind people that all we need is you. You're the only true one solid rock foundation that we can rely on. We're reminded today that there's nothing that we can depend on. No one, no government, no plan, nothing that we can depend on except you. We're reminded today that we need salvation. Oh, we desperately need salvation in so many different ways. So we place our faith and our trust in you today. Father, we expect that through this, that you're going to bring good out of it. All things work together for good is what your promise is to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. I pray today, Lord God, that through this, that you draw us closer to you, our loved ones closer to you, this nation closer to you. God, that we would stop and realize that all this stuff is being stripped away, that you're our solid foundation. You're our only hope. Father, we expect you to come through here on this earth as you will one day in heaven for those who are your children. God, let revival break out. Help us, Lord God, to see souls saved through this. And if people don't know you right now that are watching this podcast, that they would simply say a prayer and say, oh God, I need you. I need a Savior. Won't you forgive me of my sins? Come live in my heart. Be Lord of my life. Help me to place my faith and trust in you today and you alone. And I thank you, Lord God, that we're encouraged today by your word. On this Palm Sunday, we wave our branches before you saying, Hosanna. Yes, we need you. Come, please help. Come, please help. Help us, sustain us, and carry us through this time. And we thank you that you're going to do that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, amen. I hope that you're encouraged today by this word. I want to give you some quick announcements today, let you know that what's going on here at Faith Assembly, different things that you can be part of. First thing I want to make sure you absolutely know this, is that next Sunday is Easter Sunday, which I know you know, and we're going to have to do this virtual gathering again. I'm so thankful for the technology that we have that we can do this. Isn't that great? So we're going to do this, and so I want you to do that next Sunday. I want you to get, I don't know, grape juice or any kind of juice. It doesn't even have to be juice. It could be tea. It could be whatever you have handy there. And maybe have some crackers. It could be regular crackers. It could be Goldfish crackers. It could be little pieces of bread. It doesn't matter what it is, but God will sanctify those elements that you get. And I want you to gather around next Sunday, because we're going to receive communion next Sunday together, virtually. So get your juice, and get your crackers, your bread, whatever it is, and we will have communion next Sunday together on Resurrection Sunday. So have that ready. Prepare for communion. Also, I want you to please invite your Facebook friends. I know you have hundreds of friends. Individually, you have dozens and dozens and hundreds of friends throughout the United States. Man, there's going to be people that are going to gather together, usually on Christmas and Easter. Those are the two times. So even though we're not able to do this physically, we can do it virtually. So those that you know, maybe don't go to church, invite them to come. We'll have about 30 minutes or so of a gathering. They can do 30 minutes next Sunday, and we'll do all this next Sunday together. Invite them, send them a link to this message. Let's have a large turnout next Sunday, okay? Please intentionally do that. Also, there's some virtual prayer services that are going on. If you want to be part of that, just make a little post to say, hey, I want to be part of the virtual prayer services that are going on. We'll send you a link to that, some instructions on how to do that one. Also, our Life Together groups are meeting virtually as well. Send a post to say, hey, I want to be part of a virtual group where we can come together and just make sure we're we're doing okay and encourage one another. This is going to be fun. Pastor Matt is going to do a virtual Easter scavenger hunt this coming Saturday, April the 11th at 11 a.m. He's going to have you guys go and find some different things in your house and come back, and whoever gets it first gets a prize. I'm not sure how he's going to do it, but it's going to be a lot of fun. So make sure you mark your calendar for this Saturday. Instead of having an Easter egg hunt physically, we're going to do one in your homes. So Pastor Matt will send you some information on that if you're interested. Also today at 2 o'clock, join him for the Crossroads Children's Ministry, for the Zoom weekly Zoom Crossroads Children's Ministry. Pastor Joseph is meeting tonight at 6:30 for the virtual youth services. He also meets on Tuesday nights and Thursday nights at 7 o'clock for that. So if you're interested in that, post a comment to say, hey, I want to be part of that tonight at 6:30, and then Tuesday and Thursdays at 7 o'clock. Here's one more thing. If we're reaching out to our nearly 100 patrol officers in Rock Hill with some care packages. Our children, Pastor Matt's asking our children to draw some pictures, and we're going to send them to them, just a fun pictures of encouragement. Also, we're filling some lunch bags, some little paper lunch bags with some bottled water, some candy, some fruit, some snack crackers, different things like that, along with a note from the church to encourage the patrol officers in the city of Rock Hill. So if you're interested in being part of this, either you want to donate, you want to prepare, maybe you want to deliver, again, post something that says, hey, I want to be part of that. If you're interested, we're going to give you some more details on how you can be part of that. Ministry continues here at Faith Assembly. We're doing well. I appreciate your faithfulness in your tithes and your offerings. Please continue to do that. Again, as ministry continues, we're ministering and supporting the missionaries that are worldwide, as well as locally in our church and in our country. So you can give through sending your tithes through the mail, which many of you are doing, giving online, which many of you are doing. Also, you can drop it by the church in the mailbox, which many of you are doing. Thank you for your continued support in tithes and offerings. Pastor Joseph is going to post a link to a great song that I want you to listen to as soon as we wrap this up. It's a cry of Hosanna. It's simply saying, God, I need you. You're my source. Oh, it's a great song. Actually, it's a fantastic song. Please listen to it. And then after you listen to it, I want you to get together with your family, discuss this message, pray together before you move on to the next thing today. So we will see you next Sunday at 10:30 for our resurrection service, our Easter service here on Facebook Live, where we will have communion together. So remember to have your elements ready, and remember to be blessed, and remember that God has got this. We love you, and we're here for you. We're praying for you. Have a wonderful day in the Lord.